as I grow my wealth today, I'm able to do it, but I'm stewarding it so much differently. And that's the same with my health, you know, and I encourage anybody out there to do the exact same thing. Steward the job that you hate right now. Steward the small things. Because when you get those big opportunities, you're going to be able to really handle those, you know?
What's going on, my dynamic people? Welcome to the Dynamic Lifestyle Podcast. Our names are Eric and Chris Martinez. We are fitness, lifestyle, and business coaches. In each episode, we will bring you a world-class guest that will share their story, their gifts, their struggles, their habits, and how to live a dynamic lifestyle. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Now let's learn how to become dynamic.
Alrighty, guys, we're extremely excited about today's episode on the Dynamic Lifestyle Podcast with Noah Kingery. Before we get into that, we want to cover a little bit of housekeeping to keep you guys up to date on what is going on. First and foremost, if you are new to our show, thank you so much for checking us out. You are awesome. Truly, truly appreciate it. It means the world to us. Take a moment to hit the subscribe button so you get a fresh new episode every single week. And most importantly, if you learned something from one of our podcast guests or one of our shows and it really helped you out, please leave a rating and review. That is what helps grow our podcast organically. We don't ask for anything in return. And every single week, we're showing up bringing you an awesome, awesome guest that delivers massive value. Also, keep in mind that the show notes for this show will be on our website, liveadynamiclifestyle.com. So head on over there to check those out. Tis the season to be giving, ladies and gentlemen. So we are approaching Thanksgiving and we are approaching Christmas right around the corner. So this is something that Chris and I like to do every year. We like to really turn up our charity and our giving as much as possible. So what we're doing this time around is we're teaming up with our charity, Together We Rise, where we're going to be doing a charity event for the next 40 days where we're trying to raise $300 for kids to get a gift on Christmas. And what we themed it is called Every Kid Deserves a Gift on Christmas. So this is something that, you know, Chris and I are really, really big on philanthropy, giving back. So it is our mission and our goal to raise $300 to give every kid a toy on Christmas, because every kid truly does deserve a toy on Christmas. And that's what we're going to try to deliver. So if you guys want to help us out with that, anything that you donate, whether it's $1, $2, $3, it all adds up and it's all going to a great purpose. So you can see more information on that charity that we put together at togetherwerise.org/fundraise/Xmas gift. Once again, togetherwerise.org/fundraise/Xmas gift. Thank you, guys. Alrighty, so for today's guest, we have Noah Kingery. So if you guys don't know who Noah is, this guy has a special, special heart and an incredible story. I mean, he's been featured on major publications such as The Doctor Show. He is doing some amazing things, impacting so many people's lives with his story, turning his messes into his messages, something that Chris and I are huge proponents on. So this was an amazing interview, and it was a privilege to sit down and talk to Noah and have him share his story and his wisdom. So for those of you guys that don't know who Noah Kingery is, he has a huge heart. He's a certified sports nutritionist that has changed hundreds of lives around the world and has an incredible story. His story is much deeper than an extreme 190-pound weight loss, now turned nutritionist. While most may know of his story of leaving professional soccer, spiraling into addiction, depression, and attempt at suicide, gaining 210 pounds in a year to hit the breaking point of addiction and completely transforming his life, Noah is now running his own coaching business, Hands-On Guidance and Accountability, through nutrition, which he created and pours into others' journeys, as it is his main mission to touch those who currently walk the shoes that he once did. Noah states, "This is my calling, this is my passion, and more importantly, it is my purpose to see others experience the freedom that optimal health can bring." Awesome, awesome message by Noah. I know you guys are going to really enjoy this one. So for more information on Noah and what he is up to, please follow him on Instagram at Transformational Truth and visit his website at nutritionmgmt.com. All right, guys. So without further ado, the one, the only Noah Kingery. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode on the Dynamic Lifestyle Podcast. We have Noah Kingery with us in the house. How you doing, Noah?
I'm doing good, man. Looking forward to this.
And I didn't butcher your name.
You didn't, and that most people do. So you're good.
It's funny, man, because I'm known for that, right, Chris?
I was just clowning Eric right now, telling Noah this guy always butchers people's last names. You know, even though they even tell him like a second before it starts.
Yeah. All right. Well, you did it. Let's go.
But no, I appreciate you being here, Noah. You're a busy guy, but it's great that we're somewhat close. You live more towards the San Fernando Valley, but still, it's crazy LA traffic battling here. So, man, I just appreciate you just spending an hour with us. And I know you're going to deliver a lot of good stuff because you got a hell of a story.
I'm excited. I'm really excited about it.
So we kind of like to kick off the show with a little bit of fun. So is there anything you could tell us in 2018 that has just been out of this world, just funny that's happened to you?
Funny. Gosh, it's been a heavy year, 2018. funny things that have happened. I traveled to Norway, and that was the first time I'd been in Scandinavia, and I was super excited, because I utilize Instagram and social media a lot, and I was like, man, finally I can get out of my comfort zones and, show people another side. I get there. We ended up working 20-hour days, and I literally spent one day out of the seven that I got to see Oslo. That's it. So we literally couldn't see any of it. And I was so bummed because that's the first time I've ever been to Scandinavia or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you travel and you want to experience and all that. And so that, I don't know if that's a funny story, but that just inspires me to get back there, and do that.
Yeah.
And I think traveling is huge when it comes to perspective.
Yeah. And that's a good point because first off, I've heard Oslo's beautiful. That's definitely on my bucket list, but that just kind of, it's a good point that you said that because sometimes even though we do travel somewhere, we're just in that mindset towards we just need to get shit done or we're just all business, right? With no pleasure, mm-hmm. Work hard. We don't play hard. Mm-hmm. So, one of those things that next time definitely soak it up and just do some exploring.
Yeah. I've got to. And one thing I did want to say about that, you said about being all business, getting things done, being focused, but not really living.
Yeah.
You're kind of existing, you're kind of going through that. And it takes that focus. You guys know it. But I think that it's crucial to find that balance for yourself.
Yeah.
To really refresh and reflect.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah. And you mentioned too, that you were born in India.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. So, I mean, was that your mom or your dad? Or?
Yeah. My parents both. My dad, he started mission work there, working with physically disabled, 30 years ago.
Wow.
And, he met my mom. She wrote him a donation. My mom's from Dallas. Dad's from Virginia originally. She wrote him a donation. The rest was history. They started writing love letters back and forth and, ended up getting married. And then we were all born there, me and my two sisters.
Nice.
And, I will say that's a, third world country, any third world country, and the traveling and just living and being brought up in that environment, it really opens up the perspective.
Right.
Yeah. Of just seeing the world. I try to tell people all the time, budget and travel. And you don't need to travel and spend, in places that are all luxurious. Get into the dirt.
Yeah.
Because it will change your life on how Absolutely. You see life.
Yeah.
And how you can relate.
So how many years did you grow up there in India?
That was 14, almost 14 years.
14 years.
Wow. Yeah. We were born and raised there. We traveled back and forth to Dallas, Texas, where my mom's from.
Yeah.
And, so we would spend like a year in Dallas. And then 2 years in India and then a year back, so we were in 9 different schools, growing up. But my best experience was in boarding schools. We were brought up in English boarding schools there and it really taught us a lot about, fending for yourself, doing things for yourself, being self-sufficient.
Nice.
And, when I have kids, hopefully one day, I want that experience for them at least to travel.
It's incredible.
Do you still speak the language?
I don't.
Because
we were in boarding school. So, we were very sheltered in the fact of what we were learning, the languages. So we learned French, we learned German, those languages, yes, the European languages, but not any of the Indian languages. And there's really over 100 dialects in India of different languages. So it's not just Hindi, you know, Kannada, like the few things that you hear in Bollywood and all that.
It's, yeah.
There's so many. So, you know, there's many different dialects, but.
Gotcha. Nice. Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate you sharing that. And I, before we get into more of like, you know, who Noah is and what you've, your story is about. I know just recently, man, you know, we talked about this, that your father passed away in September. And, you know, again, my condolences go out to you and your family.
Thank you.
I remember we were supposed to do this podcast like a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And I totally understood when you told me that, you know, I was just like kind of in shock. Mm-hmm. And I can relate with that. I know exactly what you're going through. It's one of those things that you'll never get over. It's just, you have to kind of heal yourself little by little over the course of the years. So, if you don't mind kind of just like, you know, sharing, like, what are you kind of feeling right now? And, you know, how big of a part was your father to you as a person and just, you know, as like a role model?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. September. Well, early August, he got the diagnosis that he had kidney cancer.
Okay.
He was in perfect health. They said that he had 3 months to 9 months to live. And of course, that was the first part of the grief because it was like just a shock to us all. Because for many years, so we've always been a really tight family bond. But for many years, it was shattered because of my addictions in my life.
Right.
And, you know, we had repaired that over the last 5 years. By God's grace, we've really repaired that. And, you know, so getting that news was really, really difficult. September came. 6 weeks later, he was gone.
Jeez.
And I'm going to not try to get too emotional, but I will say that my grief has turned to gratitude for what he has been in my life and just shown me. And I think that it's so important if you don't have a father or a father figure to have people in your life that create that impact that really force you to grow. And he did that, you know, and he was selfless, you know, as far as just he would give you the shirt off his back. And I think that's where my compassion comes. And he showed us how to dream. Like he did things, his father was a pharmacist and he dropped and sold everything to move to India. Who does that?
Yeah.
You know? And so he just showed us the, just to break barriers. And that's another thing. So many of us don't dream because we're, you know, fearful
exactly.
or we're told, no, you can't do it or it's unreachable, you know, and that's something that he really impacted us with. And so it's been a hard month of September. I'll say that because he passed. My birthday's a week later, you know, so that was very bittersweet. The whole thing, just in all of it, but you know, just moving forward, I feel like there's a cloud that's lifted this last month. And I'm so happy about that. And you know, it'll be a hard holidays.
Absolutely.
But we're as a family, we're so united and we've been united through this whole process. And, this is no disrespect to any families that are broken right now, but I'm so grateful that we were not fighting through the process.
Yeah.
If this had happened 5 years ago, I would be living with a regret in my life right now that I don't know how I would come back from that. And, you know, just with my past of things and just the repairs that have been made.
But, absolutely. Whew, man, that's powerful. And I think that's just really very courageous of you to say that you're grateful. And, you know, how old are you right now?
I'm 31.
Okay. So yeah. So you had, you know, 31 years of your father. For me, I only had 17 years. So, you know, and I lost him in a blink of an eye, you know, 3 days before Christmas in a car accident. So I didn't have any time to say goodbye. And that still just eats me up till today. So, you know, no loss is going to be easy, even if your father was given 6 weeks, but you know, at least like you said, you guys didn't have to suffer and you know, you guys wished him off. Now you guys can celebrate his life. And you can keep going forward, living your legacy and making him proud.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
You. And I'm sorry you went through that. That's,
thank you.
My mom lost her brother the day before graduation in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, she's lost her brother. I asked her, I said, is it harder to lose someone without knowing, like, you know, on sudden, or is it harder to know how long they have? And those were I've never had conversations with anyone that knows that they have 6 weeks to live.
Yeah.
So it makes your time even that much more intentional.
Yeah.
But how about those that, you know, you lose unexpectedly?
Yeah. And absolutely. I always wondered that too, that same scenario. I'm like, geez, like just, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So I want to circle back to what you were saying that, some of your addictions. So I know like a big piece of your story was that you were up to 365 pounds and you had this incredible transformation. So I guess it's a kind of a two-part question. Like, were some of those addictions what led you to get to 365 pounds? And then where was that pretty much that switch, man, where you were just like, you know, I'm fed up with this. Like, I got to do something about this and turn it all around. And then you went through that transformation.
Sure, sure. The story is very, very deep and very long. So I'll give, you know, somewhat of the cliff notes. But, you know, I've always been an all or nothing type of person. Addictive personality, if you want to call it.
Okay.
And that is it's a double-edged sword, because if you're all or nothing, it's amazing the things that you can get done. Amazing what you can accomplish. But on the other end, if you're pouring your all or nothing into things that are, you know, destructive, you go the opposite way. And so, you know, when I walked away from soccer, this is 2007, I walked away from soccer, you know, for relationship. It didn't work out. You know, it was a high school love, if you want to call it. That really led me to the start of my addictions. Mm. And, you know, I was in the best shape of my life, but I had walked away from soccer, lost my scholarships, everything you could think of. And all I knew how to do was to escape, you know? And so I started with the alcohol. Then the alcohol started to really grip me, you know, and grip different areas of my life where I just didn't care. And so that went on, you know, and fast forward, exactly a year later, I had put on 210 pounds.
Jeez.
So I went from 143 to 356 in a year. So you can imagine what people are thinking. You can imagine people don't even recognize you, you know, and imagine what you're feeling like when you're looking in the mirror. A year before that, I was in this shape that was, you know, best shape of my life and an athlete and all of that, you know, and so sped up the addiction even worse. And the addiction was revolving door. You got alcohol, you've got food. Women were non-existent at the time. But all of that was just, I would say they're temporary escapes. I talk about this a lot. Temporary escapes that absolutely destroy you, but slowly. So you don't like your job. You're not liking life. You're not enjoying or understanding the circumstances that are happening. What do? You try to escape.
Yeah.
And it's temporary. It could be the drugs. It could be the alcohol, any of that, you know, that may not be uplifting. And going through that, you know, it really tears you down. And I think that, you know, one thing is to find those escapes and those outlets that you can get your release. And I started to do that. It took me years. You know, so back to your question, in 2012, I was at the height of my addiction, tried to commit suicide. That still was not a wake-up call. A week later, I was back to addiction. You know, you have those moments where it's like a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's time for me to change. It's time for me to get through, you know, and make those adjustments. And you're excited and you're inspired and you have a fire under you. But the minute that fire goes away, you're back to where you were, you know? And so 2013, the addictions came back. And, so I went from that, in 2014, I ended up losing everything, you know, financially, just everything. And that really brought me to my knees. I can't tell you why that was the moment. And I'm sorry, this was Jan 7th, 2013 that this happened. And, I just said, if I don't change now, I will never, ever change, you know, and I had to, I was either going to kill myself or kill somebody else, you know, and my family, everything was broken, everything. And I couldn't keep living that way. So that really led me at that moment, Jan 7th, I stopped the drinking, the drinking came with the binge eating, all of it. And I just fought. And, you know, a year and a half later, I'd lost 190 pounds. And, you know, I'm here today, you know, maintaining more or less, you know, where I've been. And, you know, I'll never go back.
Yeah. You know, absolutely.
That pain and that disdain that I have for that life that I once lived, I will never go back.
Yeah.
And I tell people that all the time. If you have something that you want to break, like an addiction, or you want to really create change, build an incredible disdain for that feeling of waking up the next day hungover, or waking up the next day beating yourself up because of the choices that you made the night before. Build that disdain that you can't, you know, that you hate. In my opinion, I believe that can fuel change. And then build a pleasure to how good it feels to make those choices that are optimal for your life.
Yeah.
That's powerful. I was going to follow up and ask you a question too. Like, what do you tell somebody that's going through that? And you've pretty much just answered that. And, I was just really like kind of thinking like how your parents were feeling, you know, when you were going through this, because you said that you guys kind of just grew up in this great life and, you know, you just had this spiral where you just got addicted to, you know, alcohol and just, you know, food and, you know, it led to obesity. So, I mean, it's just, it's a crazy story, man. But, you know, just the fact that you battled through it, you never gave up. And like you said, you're here today, you know, and there's probably still little barriers, still little demons that haunt you, you know, no matter what is going to happen. So what do you do in that situation when you know that, you know, sometimes you're going to look in the mirror and be like, this is the old version of me, and beat yourself up, shame yourself, guilt yourself. What do you do in that situation?
I have to remember that these habits, like we build these like habits over time.
Right.
And a lot of times they're very, very difficult to break. And you know, a lot of people and including myself, you know, you go through years of these habits that are holding you down and you expect things to change like that.
Yeah.
And rarely that's the case, you know, so, I mean, I'm constantly, you know, pushing this, you can call it preaching, I don't care, but is failing forward. Yeah. You have got to fail forward. I'm not going to make the right decisions. There's going to be times that I still emotionally eat.
Yeah.
There's going to be times never will I drink again, but there's going to be times that you make those decisions that you're really not proud of. But what are you going to do? Beat yourself up and let that spiral another day, another week?
Exactly.
I say you've got 1 hour that you messed up, whether it's with your eating, whether it's with your choice, you've still got 23 hours. Turn it around, you know, and a lot of times, even like with Mondays, I said this yesterday on social media, is that people get into Mondays and or Sundays and they throw it away and they say, Monday, I'm going to start. There are many, many people tomorrow that are going to start on the first and say, okay, the first I'm going to do it. They get halfway through Thursday. I promise you they've fallen on their face and they are already saying to themselves, Monday, I'll start. Monday, I'll restart. That Monday's never going to come. There's never going to be the right time.
No, there's not.
You know, and I say that with full conviction in my heart, because it really is the truth. People are looking for a perfect scenario.
Yeah.
And I believe that if you can persevere and make changes through the worst of scenarios on a Wednesday after your dad passed, on a Thursday after your girlfriend left you, if you can make those changes and persevere through those times, how about when the times are good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know? I could go on and on, but
yeah. Love it. And I want to ask you too, because what I call like those times, like when people go through those really dark times, you know, you can call them dark times or you can call it like through hell. Cause me and him went through hell for 6 years, you know, but we saw the end of the light at the end of the tunnel. We got through it and we learned a ton of stuff. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts we have now, to be able to help people out and improve their lives and impact. And because of that, so that dark times that you went through, or hell, you know, that you went through, you know, what are some of those key lessons that you really learned and kind of like that you're doing right now to make impact?
Impact in other people.
In people.
I mean, I think one thing is being able to identify, you know, I can identify with those that have been, that are bulimic, because I went through a case of that. I can identify with those that are obese, that are fighting, you know, the food addictions. I can identify with those that are alcoholics or dealing with those type of addictions. And then being able to identify, it really makes you, for one, more human. And we spoke about this before we got on camera, is being human.
Yeah.
Being, so people can see that you don't have it all together. None of us do.
No.
You know, and the world of social media is the worst, because it shows you what
perfection.
You want to see.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's, you know, a lot of people can't decipher that, you know, so, going back to, you know, your question, is that I think identification with them and letting them know that my door is wide open and I can really understand, you know, what they're going through. It allows me to speak perspective into their lives. And, you know, for me, the reason why I became a nutritionist was not for the sole fact of just giving out meal plans.
Right.
Yes, I knew that the nutrition, it was 85% of my transformation. I believe that to be true in most cases, but it was really to utilize it as a vehicle to optimal health emotionally, physically. You know, the body can come, but how about what you're dealing with, those underlying triggers that have been holding you down for so long?
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that, you know, I say all the time is that nutrition is my vehicle and I'm grateful to do it.
Yeah.
And yes, I want to see transformations in clients. Sure, we all want a portfolio to be built. But you know what? What's much, much deeper than that is when a client comes back 6 months later and they're still sustaining their best shape, but they are a totally changed individual.
Ooh, yeah.
In the things that they never felt that they could break. And I'm not talking about overeating.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in life.
Oh, you know, and so powerful.
This it may come off too confident or too bold, but I believe that I was made to do what I'm doing right now. Like my purpose in my life, and I'm 31 years old, after going through everything that I have been through, is to do exactly what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And there is no more. And I mean, this is when I had 3 clients and this is when I have 123 right now. So that happens. I believe that then, but man, it just keeps coming clear and clear. And I love what you guys, like you guys do that. You're able to pour into individuals and watch them just completely transform.
Absolutely.
You know, and I know that feeling and I respect that so much. You know, it's not about the number of people you can work with.
Nope.
But it's about those individuals that you can really impact.
Exactly. Man. And I got to give you a fist bump for that too. The reason being, man, is because this is what we've been trying to practice and preach the last couple of years with our book, The New Era of Fitness. You know, that this is the fitness is just a vehicle. You know what I mean? And it's like the way I like teaching it is it's just a tool in your tool belt. But the other stuff in life, the happiness, the adventure, the experiences, the family, the career, all that other stuff, man, is so important as well. You know, people put fitness on a pedestal and body image too much and they forget about those other tools on that tool belt. You know, and I think we're all really chasing happiness, you know, in life and they think fitness is going to make them ultimately happy, but it's just a vehicle. Like you said, it's just a part of it, man. So that really resonated with me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And even like you said, like about when the client comes back like 6 months and just they're a completely different person. That's what gives me the most gratification. Just Eric, you didn't get me in tip top shape. You didn't get me in a bikini. You changed my life. Yeah. You impacted my life. I am completely different. I see the world different. And it's just like, holy, like you don't really think about it sometimes, but when you do stop and think about it, it's just, it is so powerful. It really, really is.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, I mean, and for me, that's what optimal health really is. Like there is so many freedoms that can be unlocked through optimal health, you know, and whether it is those life experiences.
Yeah.
Like there's so many experiences that I was sick and tired of not being able to do. Of constantly saying, okay, maybe next year, maybe next summer, maybe this or that, you know, whether it was travel, whether it was just, I mean, going out with friends, like, you know, the smallest of things. And that is something, there's a lot of freedom that can be unlocked. And I want each individual, whether I work with you hands on or whether I'm you know, going back and forth on DM, on Instagram, I want each individual to find one, what works exactly for them, but two, to experience this freedom.
Yeah.
Because there truly is.
Yeah.
And you guys know
it's
that.
It's amazing. And I know you said now you are a certified nutritionist, which is awesome. And now you're, you know, a practitioner helping other people. So you have quite a bit of like clients. And I know there's a lot of coaches and practitioners that listen to our show as well too. So how do you balance out like all those clients really efficiently to build like the relationship that, and then give them the attention they need? And then what do you see coaches, like fitness professionals doing wrong right now?
You know, I almost went on a rant about this the other day. So, you know, I have a lot of individuals, you know, because my social media and all that, but I have a lot of individuals that come to me that have been burned by these social media, yeah. you know, icons, especially in the weight loss. I'm not even talking about the fitness community because that's a whole nother ball game. But
I
the
call
actual
them Instagram
weight,
registered dietitians.
There you are. Everyone, yeah, and every, exactly. And everybody has a plan. Everybody's selling something, yeah. and that's no knock to anybody that's mm-hmm. doing their grind. For me, what I said to myself is that I will always be able to look at my whiteboard that has every client that I'm working with and know three things. One, exactly where they are emotionally. Two, exactly where they are with their nutrition.
Okay.
And three, hands-on at all times. And when I mean all times, I'm not talking about a weekly email check-in. I'm not talking about, well, hit me up and I'll get back to you in 24 hours. No. I'm talking about hands-on on the go. And this does not just have to do with nutrition guidance when they're out, because I want to show them how to win outside of their plans,
right?
Win outside of that structure. But it's really about that emotional, those emotional triggers, because people are not 356 pounds just because they wanted to be, or just because they woke up one day and they gained all that weight. No, yep. there are deeper underlying oh, yeah. things. And, you know, so that's really something that I pride myself on, and I will stay in that zone. I'm in the place right now that I could sell plan after plan after plan and mass market all summer if I want to do that. That is not my passion and that is not my purpose.
Yeah.
And I could care less how much money can be made. You know, I just want to backtrack just a little bit. 2012, December, I went to bed with $1 million in my bank account. I was a fashion designer, did a whole bunch of stuff. January 2013, I woke up and I had zero. I know what it is to have that life. That's not what I'm in this for,
yeah.
you know, and I see this too much on social media, mm-hmm. especially with online coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to market yourself as hands-on or 24-hour support mm-hmm. or working customized one-on-one, you had damn better be doing that.
Yep.
And if not, no problem, but stop marketing it that way.
And fooling people.
And the sad part is that I want to say this to those who I have rapport with, because I hate that. You know, because the thing is this, when clients come to me, they see the social media and they say, there's no way he's working with me hands-on. You know,
because
you're lumped up in that. And I'm sure you guys get that as well. And I hate being grouped up in that. Not only does it take away from my business, but it takes away from the impact that I can create
yeah.
in other individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just think that, you know, the world of social media and all that is crazy. You're going to grind and do whatever you want to do. You know, but if it's a blueprint that fits 1,000 people, which there is no such thing,
yeah.
but if it is a quote unquote cookie cutter thing, just market it that way. It's all good. Like
yeah.
we know that, you know, and not to say your plans don't work, but I promise you, they will never, ever touch on the deeper issues, especially when it comes to the fine details of working hands-on with individuals.
Absolutely.
And I just want to add a real quick comment to that, because I think you're spot on with that. And I think that people don't gain the weight, like you said, just out of spite. There's a really huge underlying reason why. There's always something that's going mm-hmm. on emotionally mm-hmm. and from their past. So it's our job as practitioners to, you know, break those barriers down, peel back those layers, those clients,
Absolutely.
And really, really just, you know, build that trust and mm-hmm. have them just, you know, get back to that belief and that confidence. And that's something I just don't see practitioners doing and coaches. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's a damn shame.
Well, but again, it's a niche, right? Like
yeah.
you guys have found your niche. I know I found my niche and I'll stay right here in my lane.
Yeah.
Cause same it's here. Needed guys.
Yeah,
like
same here.
For so much respect, because it's really needed. And I'm not talking about personal trainers. They work hands on with clients. Sure. But there are very few nutritionists, in my opinion, unless they're dietitians that work in a hospital that just give you a prescription.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's enough of you guys,
yeah.
you know, and what we're doing.
I want more
competition,
yep.
you know, and same with like social media and stuff like that. We need to support
yeah.
growth in seeing people win.
Yeah.
yeah.
Everyone's looking at people as competition. I'm like, dude, that's just the most closed-minded thinking, because mm-hmm. there's so much out there for mm-hmm. people. You know, there's so much to go around. It's like, we're not competition. We all mm-hmm. should be in this together,
yeah.
helping people out.
If you guys are interested in getting a copy of our new book, The New Era of Fitness, where we talk about 8 proven strategies to double your strength, sexiness, well-being, and live a dynamic lifestyle, please make sure you guys check that out at theneweraoffitness.com. In this book, The New Era of Fitness, we go more in depth talking about flexible training, flexible nutrition, how to develop a growth mindset, personal development, and how to intertwine it all into a realistic, enjoyable, and flexible lifestyle. So once again, if you guys want to learn more about that and grab your copy, go to theneweraoffitness.com. And just to add to that, we are no longer looking at fitness under a microscope or black and white. It is the new era of fitness. So come enter the new era of fitness and get your copy at theneweraoffitness.com. Now back to the show, guys.
And then here's the other issue too, though, is, man, like, I agree 100% that more people need a coach like this. I really do, you know, especially online wise, but the perception of it is it's horrible because of all these social media influencers and right. even the media too, mm-hmm. that they put, you know, fitness as just black and white. It's just mm-hmm. nutrition and True. Fitness. It's all body image, right? Mm-hmm. So you have all these social media influencers pushing this shit out. And then what do you think a normal, just general population client is going to gravitate towards, right? Yeah. The influencer that's in shape that mm-hmm. has X amount of followers mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, I'll mm-hmm. give you my meal plan and you'll get in shape like mm-hmm. this person. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So sure. it sucks, but you know, that's why people like us need to use our platforms mm-hmm. to get this out there more. Because like you said, there needs to be more people like mm-hmm. us out there, man, because ultimately it is the most important way to coach like that. I really truly mm-hmm. believe at my core, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. 93. Why do you think 93% of diets fail 6 weeks later?
Yep. Yeah.
Why? And I've been that statistic. I know it. Why? Because one, you're looking for a quick fix that's not going to be sustained. Mm-hmm. And two, you're looking for what your money can maximize yeah. at that moment, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Just like it is driving through the drive-through for a dollar.
Exactly.
Well, I can't really eat healthy. I promise you, when I put people on plans and when I put people with the nutrition, they can eat for $30 to $40 a week.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of savings at the end of the day, you know, but a lot of people are looking for those quick fixes.
Absolutely.
And I think that I said this in an interview once is that, and it wasn't really, it didn't come out right, but let me try to say it this time. So I believe that if you work for it, if you're patient, if you're consistent, you are going to steward that health so much better and be able to sustain it. Just like you're given a new car, I promise you, if you're given it and you don't work for it, 3 months later, you stop washing it. You forgot that you got it. You know, so I feel like that too, is that a lot of people that want to be healthy, that want a six pack, that want, you know, on those terms, they're not ready to steward it because they don't know what it is to put that work in,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And if they actually put in the time and put that work in, I truly believe that they could sustain it because they'd say, I fought for this, man. You know,
yeah.
I fought for this,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, and there are many times, you know, you talk about body image and all of that. And I know I have a hard time with that every once in a while. I still feel 356 mm-hmm. when clearly I'm not, but there's a lot of insecurities floating around when you're seeing the media, when you're seeing everything. Yeah. And, you know, one thing is that when it comes to body image and all of that is that you might get that six pack. You might get right there. But dude, if you're not working on the inner workings of yourself, man, yeah. like you get there and you're yeah. not happy.
Oh,
like
man.
You get there yeah. and you're just not. And that's with anything in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I had all that money, I was trying to commit suicide. I was on the 31st floor downtown Los Angeles overlooking the Staples Center every single night. And I hated my life.
Jeez.
When most people are looking at me saying, man, you got it together.
Exactly.
You're living the dream. Nah, that's fleeting. You know, that's really fleeting. And I didn't know how to steward that. As I grow my wealth today, I'm able to do it, but I'm stewarding it so much differently. And that's yeah. the same with my health. You know, and I encourage anybody out there to do the exact same thing. Steward the job that you hate right now. Steward the small things. Because when you get those big opportunities, you're going to be able to really handle those, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
man, I'm just feeling this energy real quick.
It's good. I'm going on a rant right now.
I see the fire in your eyes and like just that passion. And I'm like, shit. You know, like,
sorry, man. And I don't like holding. I wish I had two hands. I'd be up on the walls.
No, you're doing good, man.
So I know you mentioned like opportunities. You mentioned like interviews, media, and you've been, you know, featured in a lot of like major like media outlets, publications. So how did you get those opportunities? And basically, like, what are some of the biggest takeaways you've gotten from like those opportunities?
Yeah, funny story that you guys don't know, and I should have said this in the very beginning, but the very first people that I ever blasted out my story, this was 2 years ago, I had my story, my transformational truth. You can see it on the website, nutritionmanagement.com. But I blasted this, you know, it's a 7 minute of my story. And incredibly impactful, but it wasn't getting the light that it was supposed to be. You know, that I felt like, gosh, I want more people to see this.
Yeah.
And not for my own gain. At that time, it really was just about, okay, I'm vulnerable here. I'm putting myself out there. I hope people receive it. And when they did, you know, when people weren't receiving it, I was taking it personally, right? But you guys, I wrote you guys because y'all were a blog that I read. And I'm going to put this out there. That you guys were a blog that I read. There was three blogs that I read, and the other two were, you know, mass. I think it was Simply Shredded or one of those. And I wasn't on big on Instagram or anything, but you guys, I read. Was it DTF? Can you remind me what was the actual, you know, that you guys would put your stuff out on?
I know we wrote for a lot of bodybuilding sites.
Okay, so
yeah,
I read y'all's articles.
Okay,
and I reached out. You know, and I don't know if you guys remember, this is 2 years
ago. I do remember this now. Do you remember what article it was just by chance?
You know, I would just read, y'all would write articles and I would pick them up. I forget, it wasn't a big publication, this one. It was a blog that I would read that had a bunch of stuff, but I reached out to you guys and then I was like, man, I really want to get covered. I never heard back. You know, and again, you probably get a ton of stuff anyways. And so through that whole, you know, time, this was 2 years ago. Now, I was like, man, something's got to catch fire. But, and again, I wasn't a nutritionist at the time. I've been a nutritionist for about a year and a half. And so I was like, you know what? I really want to start my own, my business, you know, but I just didn't know exactly how to start going gym to gym. It's very difficult.
Oh yeah.
Now, and you guys know this. But I said, okay, I'm going to start like that. So I had, you know, six clients or so, and that's how I started. But with the social media stuff in January, you know, this year, I got a call from the doctors. You know, and then of course, so they found me on social media. I had 13,000 followers, but I guess they liked the content, you know, and it's not about, all about following. You can have incredible business and you can have incredible impact without following.
Exactly.
That's one thing I try to remind everybody. But so anyways, I got into that, you know, with the doctors, and then that went viral. And then of course, you know, bodybuilding.com, Men's Health, it just kind of took off from there. And, you know, now it just keeps going, and which is crazy to me. But I'm excited because I feel that I have a hell of a lot to say.
Oh yeah.
And not to say, oh, I'm important and no, but I feel like I have so much to say, but I always wanted some type of a platform to be able to put it out there. And even if it is IG stories or whatever, that's fine, you know, but it's amazing the impact that you can create. Not just because of following, but if you have engagement.
Yeah.
I think that's what most people lack is the engagement.
Absolutely.
Know? Stop treating people like fans. And I don't know where the cameras are or what, but for anyone out there right now, these social media icons that are treating your treating these people like fans, unless you have 4 million followers and you're getting 3,000 comments a day, stop it with all the 40 comments, 50 comments.
Yeah.
If you're getting 40 to 50 comments, engage people, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You call yourself a weight loss influencer, and I really want to rant on this just for a second.
Go for it, yeah.
But if you call yourself a weight loss influencer, and I mean, you create major impact. You have people writing you every single day that are saying they want to take their life. I hope that you are engaging those better than you are engaging your comments. Those private DMs, because man, the amount of people that I've been able to talk off the ledge from suicide is unreal. And that's what we need to be in this for.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to tear anyone down out there on social media, but create the impact. You have the platform.
Yeah.
Create the impact.
Yeah. And I love how you say that, because for me and Chris, I don't even feel like we have this massive following, but still it's like, I hate that term calling my I hate calling them followers. They're not followers. I mean, they're supporters.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, they're people that support us, and I genuinely love them for doing that. So, you know, it's like, I hate when people say, oh, I don't have enough time to get back to people. I'm like, you're so full of shit. Like, everyone has time. You know, it's just, it's not a priority.
And organize your business better.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Time management.
Organize your business better.
Yeah.
That's because, you know, and that's the thing. There's too much self-serving going on, you know, it's okay. Everyone's going to do what they're going to do. That's just not where I want to be.
Yeah.
And I could care less. You know, I believe that this will continue to grow. I believe it.
Yeah.
But it's not about that, man. It is about being able to touch individuals, even if I don't work with them.
Yeah.
Even if they can't afford what I do, that's fine. Like, I enjoy that. I thoroughly enjoy it. And it is a full-time job.
Yeah.
You run IG store. You guys know
it. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of work.
I mean, it takes a lot of work for social media, you know, but it's well worth it when you're reaping the benefits, not financially, but reaping the benefits of seeing other people say, hey, I lost 30 pounds because of this story that I read 6 months ago, whatever it is, you know, that's really cool stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what if one day, one morning, you woke up and you got an email from, let's just say, Mark Zuckerberg, and he was like, Noah.
Hey, Mark. I know Mark. Did y'all?
He's like, Noah, I love what you're doing. Love your story. I love the impact that you're making on people's lives. I want to grant you a 1 minute viral video that's going to just reach billions of people on Instagram, right? So 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. What would your message be to those billions of people, and why?
Wow. I mean, my message has stayed pretty consistent throughout, but is that you cannot change what happened yesterday. And what you do right now is going to impact tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I said this out of the blue on the doctors in January, but I realized that is truly how my journey has gone and how I see others' journeys, especially when they're successful in this, is that you really can't. And that's with life, with relationships, with weight loss, with everything, is that you really can't. And sometimes we're still celebrating what we did 2 years ago. I remember for the longest time, it was hard for me to let go of saying, yes, I worked with Kanye. Yes, I worked with Justin Bieber. Yes, I worked with Katy Perry, because I was a nutritionist now. So when I would meet individuals out, I would always go back to where I once was of the success that I had. Because maybe, one, I wasn't confident enough in where I was. I'm not really sure why, but I think it was tied to do with being accepted.
Right.
And I had to remember that I can't, whether it's celebrating what happened 2 years ago or whether it's beating myself up for what happened 2 years ago, it's not going to change right now.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever you do, to be as intentional and purposeful as possible. And whatever, the smallest of things, because the smallest things add up, and the smallest things can either spiral you down or they can continue to build strength into what's ahead, because the storms of life aren't stopping.
No.
No matter they're going to continue to hit.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times what happens is maybe we're going through something, we get through it, and then we get complacent because we're like, okay, I'm done with that. That's cool. Now, like, continue to sharpen who you are in those moments, because those things are going to come back around. There's going to be a lot of things that don't stop, and you can't change those circumstances, you know? So I do believe that. I believe that, think about everything that you're doing right now that they could impact the next 5 years of your life.
Love that. And then what do you do just to kind of keep like your tools like sharp, you know, to kind of prepare for like those storms that are going to obviously come up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. A lot of it, like, I listen to podcasts for sure. I think that they're real great tools. There's some amazing podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And listen to this one, by the way. but no, you know, I think podcasts are great. I'm a man of faith, and I listen to sermons in the morning, and sermons that are not hit you in the face with a Bible type sermons, because I don't like that, but just about real life stuff, you know, just to refresh my mind before the day. So that really sets my tone. I think consistency in my scheduling and consistency in how I plan every single day is so, so crucial, you know, and that's something that's really helped me a lot. Obviously the gym is a huge release for me and for most people. But that has been my sanctuary. that I'm able to take the few hours of my day that I have, if I'm not sleeping or if I'm not working, that I'm able to truly, it sounds the craziest thing and you guys understand it. You're in the gym, you're killing the weights or whatever you're doing, and there's a sense of peace. It's almost like being in the eye of a storm. There's this like peace. I can't explain it, but there's this incredible peace that's in that moment. And I think we all need that release, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the gym, but, so finding that release is super important. And, you know, of course, like family time and all that. But the biggest thing that has kept me like accountable is the clients and the people that I work with. Cause I don't ever want to coach from the sidelines.
Yeah.
I really don't. And that really keeps me, it really does. It like, it checks me sometimes where I'm like, man, you got to lead by example, man. Yeah. Like integrity is huge for me.
Oh yeah. Same
your
here.
Word, your word is everything, you know, and the action that follows. And so anyways, I hope that answered your question.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And then something else I want to ask was just, you know, right now, like, you know, you're a nutritionist, you're serving tons of clients' lives, impacting their lives. And then you said you were in fashion, right? Before.
Yes. Yeah.
Was there something that you wanted to be or do when you were a kid that like, you know, maybe your parents like said, no, I don't want you doing this or discouraged you or something like that. Is there something you can think of like when you were a kid that you had a dream
discouraged from
or just anything that you wanted to do that you kind of look back like at, you're like, damn, I wish I was doing that. Or what if I did go down that route? Sure, you know what I mean? Sure.
Yeah. I mean, ever since 12, you know, I wanted to play professional soccer. I played professional soccer in
Brazil.
What
position did you play?
Center mid, nice. Number 10.
Nice.
Yeah. And
that's a hard position. Mid.
Yeah. And so, you know, I played in Brazil. And so I was doing that at 17. And now I sit here today and most of my friends that I played with are all playing professionally. Every single, almost 10 of my 12, like closest that we grew up together playing, they're all in the pros right now. So yes, when the World Cups come on, I'm thinking, God, that could have been me. Cause I walked away from all that, you know, but I wouldn't be where I'm at right now.
So is there any regret though?
A lot of regret, you know, when I see that, I'm like, God, maybe if I went down that, like, God, I would have been doing that, you know, but again, you just, these things shape you. Life experiences shape you. You're going to make so many mistakes, man, but wow, do they shape, you know, you as a human.
And have you ever thought about maybe just incorporating soccer like into your life right now, just to kind of get a little bit of that fulfillment back?
After I lost all the weight and got back, you know, to, I wanted to play, but I don't do anything for a hobby. Like it's hard for me. I'm very, very,
cause you said all or nothing. Though,
yeah.
Too, right.
All or nothing. And I'm very competitive as well. And so like, I can't even fathom the thought. I went and played in an indoor men's league once just for fun. And I was like, but I'm watching my friends on TV in the World Cup. Like, are you kidding me? So that was one thing. Then the other thing was saying like, is it worth getting injured? Cause the gym is my sobriety.
Yeah.
I mean, real talk, you know, and purpose of course, but the gym really is. And so I was like, I don't know that that's worth it. You know,
that's
you got to make those sacrifices, but yeah. So that is something that I do.
Yeah. I'll tell you a quick story, man. It's funny. Like me and this guy always go shoot around like once or twice a week basketball. Cause we grew up playing basketball and like, that's something we always ask ourselves, like that temptation where people are like, hey, you guys want to run 5-on-5? And we're like, we want to, but in the back of our head is like, is it worth tearing an ACL, spraining an ankle and then not being able to go to the gym or be able to do something else?
This is your livelihood, man.
Exactly. So yeah, I definitely can relate with that. Yeah. That's funny. So Noah, let's say one day you're just, you're walking in a park and it's dark. There's a bench there by itself and you see a person sitting there all by themselves and it's actually a 20-year-old version of yourself. What would you say to that 20-year-old version of Noah if you had the ability to sit there next to them?
Wow. that's a good question. I would tell him to stop being so hard on himself.
Yeah.
Cause that just led to more self-sabotage and more guilt instead of forgiving myself for those things. So, I mean, that's a big thing, you know, is just forgiving yourself for where you are maybe right now.
Yeah.
Is forgive yourself because you can't change it, but really moving forward with that. And so, I mean, I think that's one, you know, big thing and just letting him know that good things take incredible amount of patience and incredible amount of time.
Yeah.
If you want them to be sustained, and that there's nothing worth shortcutting it for. And I say this all the time, and I would say it to my 20-year-old self, is that, man, if you don't build the right stepping stones and you just try to take shortcuts mm-hmm. in life, just with whatever, you're gonna fall down, but you will have no idea how to get back up. And that is what a lot of individuals struggle with, including myself, is finding those shortcuts and not having those sturdy stepping stones. Yeah. So you fall on your face and you're like, I don't know. I have no idea how to get back up.
Yeah.
You know, and absolutely. So I think that that's a huge thing.
Yeah. That's powerful. And then just to add to that, I mean, I totally agree with like the patience thing. It's just, man, so many people just want instant mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
it's all at your fingertips though right now.
It's such a horrible mindset. And mm-hmm. I try to even teach this to the students that we teach to build mm-hmm. their businesses, fitness mm-hmm. coaches. Mm-hmm. I'm like, play the long game, man. Play the long game. Yeah. Like there's just no rush. Think 20, mm-hmm. 30 years from now, mm-hmm. you know, what you're building. So, absolutely. Yeah, it's just insane. But yeah. I love that answer though, by mm-hmm. the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Thanks.
All of these, I love these type of conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said before we got on this, is I didn't read a single question because I just wanted to freestyle, you know, and you just hear me from my conviction and we just rap about it, you know, and that's it. And I think that's the most impactful. It's not, you know, and I also get caught up in the idea of like social media being like, you've got to edit it perfectly and get the right lighting. I get caught up there for sure.
Yeah.
I'm one who does, but, I think the more real you can be, you actually make people believe that they can also do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
The more perfect you show.
Yeah.
People are like, man, that there's not any way that I'm ever going to change my life, you know, with whatever it is.
Exactly. It's like, just for example, your phone went off a little earlier, then you just dropped your phone. It was a big bang. And it's like, I'm not going to edit that stuff out. It's like, I don't care. Yeah, it's like, sure. That's real.
Well,
it's like,
I might.
Yeah. It's like, you can't sit here and like no. robots and just be perfect. No. Like, I just banged my elbow.
Yeah. There you are. You're okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
No, so Noah, would you say though, like, you know, at 31 years of age now, man, like you've had an incredible story. You know, you're making a huge impact right now. Is there anything that you're currently missing in your life right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think a companion.
Okay.
You know, I was in a serious relationship a year ago. It ended on my birthday in Bali. That was another heartache. But I have a lot of love to give. I also know that the last couple of years, especially for about 4 years, I was able to really work on myself and on my baggage and, you know, lighten those loads. Obviously there's plenty of things we have to work on, but that is something, you know, that I'm, not desperate for, but that I want someone else who can sharpen me in that place, you know, in a totally different part of my life. And, so I think that's something that I feel like I'm missing. I also think that along with that, is actually living in the moment, because life is going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like just fast forward. So January, I had 13,000 following. I have 140. January, I had 13 clients. I now have 123 that I work with daily and 4 to 6 month retentions. So a lot of amazing things, including my health, my wellness, all those, mm-hmm. yet I still want more.
Yeah.
I get caught up in that sometimes. And so I have to slow down long enough. And I think with the passing of my dad, I had to really take a step back and say, dude, you're doing fine.
You're doing fine.
You know what I mean? And sometimes we're so caught up in that, of that, you know, just constantly going. And sometimes because I'm an all or nothing, I get, my fear of complacency is so high that, because I know what complacency can do for me in the past, is that, so I'm constantly driving forward, constantly, no matter what, you know what I mean? And sometimes that doesn't give me an opportunity to really just say, enjoy, man.
Yeah.
Be honest with you, even if I had those 7, you know, days to myself in Norway, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed them. Yes, I'm working on the go no matter where I am in the world. WhatsApp is amazing and, you know, all those, but mm-hmm. I probably would not have truly taken it all in.
Yeah.
Because my mind is already thinking about, I'm doing this podcast right now and I'm thinking about what I have to do at 4:00.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And not in this moment, but I've constantly reminded myself, even through this time, to like, be in this moment.
Yeah.
Take it all in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm doing that, you know, my best, but that's something that I really struggle with.
Yeah. And it's such a, I was going to say, it's crazy you say that. I know you're going to probably say the same thing, but it's man, like that's how me and this guy are. Like, it's like, everything's like a checklist. It seems like, you know, you check it off, like the project, whatever the accomplishment, and you put your head down again, you fucking grind again, just for the next thing. And it's not a good thing. You know, like you said, it's a blessing and a cursing, you know, because you're suppressing other things. You're not present. You're just like, life's so short, man. Things happen. So it's something I'm working on, man. It's hard.
Yeah. And just to add to that too, quick little story. When we lost our father, that's how we masked our pain, is just putting our head down and just fucking working just nonstop.
Yeah.
Just
that was your
goal
escape.
After goal. Exactly. That was your release. Goal after goal. Yeah. And it wasn't healthy. Now that I'm older, I think back and I'm like, wow, I can't believe all that because I did so much so fast. Mm-hmm. But it's just, that's the way I dealt with it, you know, and that's why I try telling people, like, if you're going through something, just really just, you know, try to deal with that emotional barrier first. And then, you know, just because anybody can put that mask on, you know, and just pretend like everything's okay, but it's really not.
It'll blow up, you know, eventually. Yeah,
exactly.
But being all or nothing is an amazing thing.
It is.
I tell people I would much rather be all or nothing than mediocre.
Yep. I agree.
It is what it is.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. So what's the biggest lesson that you've learned in 2018 that you could use going into 2019? Mm-hmm.
I think it's incredibly important to be strategic. For me, I used to look at goals. Like, let's say, I have things planned in February. Okay. I'm traveling in February again. Mm-hmm. So I would check out. I would mentally check out. So it would be September or October, November right now. And I would already be checked out mentally and emotionally and say, well, my trip's coming up in February. And you just check out from what's going on right now. And that's something that I believe that has completely shifted for me in 2018. I'm not sure why exactly, but that's really shifted, of being able to be strategic, to pre-plan, to have goals, but really step back and hone in on exactly what you're doing right this moment and be really, really good at it and work really hard at that, you know, instead of like, cause you know, this whole pipe dream thing, I put it on social media again, but this whole pipe dreams thing, you set up these dreams or you have visions, you have no stepping stones. It's just a pipe dream.
Yeah.
It just is, you know? And so if you're able to really set those stepping stones, but be strategic, think ahead, but not so far ahead where you're not right here, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Love that.
Yeah. So man, like we've talked about, things are going super fast. Like, I'm sure this year has felt like a freaking light year or whatever you want to call it, like that, but just super fast. And your social media is growing like crazy. Your client load's growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. Your impact's growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. So what's next for you? 2019, what do you think?
Yeah. I'm going to sell cookie cutter plant. Just kidding. Totally kidding.
Fat burner pills.
Plug it right here. We're going to be selling the fat burners. No, I'm not starting a supplement company. You know, honestly, it's just to continue to hone in on this, on what it is. For me, it's just about sustaining the client load that I have. It's hard for me to think about expanding and saying, I'm going to pull on another coach, or I'm going to pull on, because man, there's something about it. I don't care what you know about nutrition. If you haven't stepped in the shoes, it's just a total different relatability. So I do have a little bit of control there, you know, control freak mindset, but, I just want to hone in on this and make it as sharp and as optimal as it can possibly be. I only do nutrition, you know, guidance, and that's really what I do, because I believe it's the brunt of majority of results. But I love training. I would love to put out blueprints, you know, as far as not an app or but something that's like that,
right?
That can create your training, especially for those that don't really know what they're doing, or that are really, they could work out at home if they want. They could work out in the gym if they want, you know, that kind of stuff. I'd love to add that, you know, of training blueprints. Mm-hmm. But for me, there's so much on the plate that I need to focus in on. And the minute that I spread myself too thin, and I know this from my past, it makes me mediocre in different areas. Or, you know, you're starting to have oversights, and I don't want that. And so I'm just going to continue to build this, man. And I'm excited to travel the world next year, because I want to travel the world. Because why am I working with a client in Australia who's 17 hours ahead, with a client in Singapore who's 13 hours ahead, with a client wherever, yet I have to be stuck in the same place?
Right.
No.
It's true.
Like, I can do this from anywhere in the world because of the power of technology and really, you know, the phones and WhatsApp and text messages and phone calls and stuff. And that is something that I want to embrace, and I'm going to start embracing it more. I wanted to do it in September after, you know, Norway stuff, but with dad's path, you know, all that going on, I wasn't able to, but I'd like to do that. And that for me is freedom. It's not about having the nicest cars and all this stuff. No. How about just being able to travel,
man,
and experience,
yeah,
you know? So that's what I'm, you know, kind of looking
for. Love it,
man.
Love it. Love it. So
I want to ask, sorry,
go for it. Yeah.
What about you guys?
Yeah.
2018, what exactly, you know, one, what did you learn about it? You know, what was really refining for you? And the other thing is, what are you really, what is y'all's focus right now? And then where, I know this is your podcast, but
I love it.
Yeah. I guess I'll go first. So for me, the biggest lesson I've learned in 2018 is just be more abundant. And like you said, be more present with what is going on, just to really appreciate the small things in life, because we can take this for granted every single day. And I did a actual story on this a couple of weeks ago about life is like an ongoing cycle, like riding a bike and pedaling. Once we stop pedaling, we become complacent. I don't care what's thrown your way, you know, what kind of adversity. If we stop pedaling, then we don't get better. And I'm all about getting 1% better every single day around health, wealth, love, and happiness. I want to be the best version of myself. And I'm getting there slowly because I'm healing myself from past wounds. So that's what I've learned in 2018. My biggest outlook for 2019 is to build our other business, the Dynamic Inner Circle, helping personal trainers, fitness enthusiasts, teaching them how to build a business the correct way, and online fitness coaching.
Is that
absolutely? Yes. How to acquire that growth mindset and be fucking relentless and resilient to, you know, your goals and dreams.
Sure, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, do I really have to go next?
Yeah, man. You might as well just top say that, I'm Chris, with him.
Right? This guy's a minute older. Of course he goes first, right? So I'd say the biggest lesson that I've learned, man, is just being more in alignment with my purpose, my gifts, right? I think we got out of alignment a little bit, just being in all these masterminds and like around high level people and all that stuff, chasing shiny objects, you know? And so we went to Colorado for 3 days and really got mentored by one of our personal growth coaches. And, you know, I felt like that really helped us kind of set ourselves back in alignment with what our true purpose and gifts are.
Absolutely.
And a lot of that going forward, man, is I love doing these podcasts, like some, just like your story. I love hearing this shit, man. People need to hear this stuff more. So I want to do more of the podcasting and see where that goes.
Sure.
I want to start my own mastermind. You know, I want to build the inner circle like Eric's talking about. And I want to get my book out there more, man. I mean, the book's been out for 2 years, but it's a whole different ballgame pushing a book out there. You know what I mean? So I still want to get that out there because of what we talked about, that fitness is just more than just body image, right? So there's a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know, like we're go-getters just like you. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of stuff on your to-do list, but just like we tell our inner circle students, one or two things at a time, man. You know, enjoy life too. Enjoy life.
I know. If you find the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for asking that. I appreciate it. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I do these, sometimes I do these podcasts or, you know, interviews and stuff. And I'm like, man, it's such a selfish interview because all I'm talking about is me and, you know, and I'm like, okay, let me
flip the switch a little bit.
Yeah.
No, that was awesome. But Noah, we're coming to the end of this interview and it's been awesome. And geez, man, I mean, literally your story, your drive, everything, just who you are as a person has inspired me today. So I appreciate that. I want to take a minute to acknowledge you. I know this is coming from Chris as well too. I want to acknowledge you for, you know, taking time out of your busy schedule, for overcoming that battle that you went through, for, you know, losing your father in September, and you're still just going, man. You still are just, you know, resilient to where you need to go and impact people. And I know you're going to get there. It's going to be a hard road, but you're going to get there.
Amen.
And I just want to, you know, wish you the best going forward with, you know, all your success and everything you got going, man.
Thank you so much.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Because you said about my dad and all that. Just to close this, for anyone out there that's listening to this, and I hope many, many, many people pour into this and more so pour into this podcast to hear more and for you to have more growth. But circumstances and things that are incredibly difficult, they can either strengthen your testimony or they can completely destroy it.
Yeah.
And how you react is so vital. Surround yourself with people that are going to push you, that are going to sharpen you, and get your tools in your arsenal, ready, and keep them sharp, because those things are going to continue to happen. But I believe that if you can continue to strengthen and sharpen your testimony, it makes you be able to relate to so many other individuals. And it doesn't matter if you have 5 followers or 500,000 followers. Wherever you are right now, you can create impact in those who are watching your moves, whether that is your little brother, whether that is your uncle or aunt, or somebody that's around you in your circles. Create that impact one at a time, because that one person is going to then impact maybe someone else.
Yep.
Then it impacts another person. Mm-hmm. And that is like a wildfire,
exactly,
what it can be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So
that's powerful. Yeah. I always end the podcast asking, what's your definition of living a dynamic lifestyle? But I think you pretty much answered it in there. So
I think so.
That
too.
Was fire.
I was
gonna say.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so enough preaching. I'm going to get roasted on social media for this. Like, oh, he's such a preacher. Sometimes I read the comments and I just like, oh,
hey, I love
read
it.
The comments. Deleted, you know. Yeah. No, but yeah. But yeah. No, thank
we appreciate
you guys.
That, man. Yeah. And then where can our listeners follow you and your work?
Sure, sure. Well, nutritionmgmt.com, that is, you know, my site. And that has a whole bunch of content. You know, I kept getting told, do YouTube. And, you know, I started YouTube 2 years ago. I never updated it again. It has 30,000 people on it, but it's never been updated in 2 years. So nutritionmanagement.com has a lot of good content that I'm constantly putting out. I'm trying to put out one video a month now, and we just launched the new interface. And so, you know, that is just, if you want value, if you want to go and, you know, listen about applicable nutrition, life things, any of it, go and, you know, check that out. And then of course, if you're looking for hands-on guidance, you know, I work with each journey one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And not a single journey is more important than the other. Everybody is so different, so different. But I think that we all can find optimal health,
yeah,
if we have the right resources and if we want it bad enough.
Yep.
So
absolutely. So okay, we'll have that all linked up in the show notes. Okay. Man, Noah, cool. Thank you so much for your time. Truly appreciate it.
Thanks, right, Noah. Appreciate it.
That was awesome, man.
All right, man.
Alrighty, guys, that concludes our show for the day on the Dynamic Lifestyle Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show and our guest. We also hope you learned some good nuggets and wisdom to apply to your daily life to become dynamic and unlock your true gifts in life. Please take a moment to share this episode with a friend, peer, coworker, or anyone that you feel would benefit from it and help them live a dynamic lifestyle. Have you gotten a copy of our book, The New Era of Fitness, where we talk about 5 different elements to double your strength, sexiness, and well-being? If not, we are giving our book for free at theneweraoffitness.com. So in this book, we talk about flexible training, flexible nutrition, how to develop a relentless and growth mindset, how to tie fitness into personal development and intertwine it all into a sustainable lifestyle. So again, grab your free copy at theneweraoffitness.com. Lastly, please take a moment to leave a review or rating on this particular show if you learned something new and enjoyed it. We would really appreciate that. Once again, thanks again for spending time with us today. We appreciate the love and continued support. Now go out there and become dynamic.